Thank you, Pete, and it's good to be with you this morning. I'm here from time to time, and as I am, you do get bits and pieces of my life, too, and I thought I would just like to take a moment this morning just to do a little review on kind of what's going on with my life these days. This first picture is the family out west in Colorado. I was there for 8 years. My wife is from out west, and we visited Colorado this summer. And I guess the reason why I'm showing this is my daughter there is away at college, and my son now is gone with the Youth with a Mission training school. So my wife and I, you know, are officially empty nesters. And so that's a big, you know, it's a different thing, big transition in life. Now, ever since we had kids at home, Monday through Friday, one of them had to walk the DOG. And here's a picture. Now, I have to do this. We're empty nesters, and now every morning, I do this most afternoons too, but every morning, it's one of my roles now, got to walk the DOG, and there's one more picture. Yeah, and that's fully grown. I mean, yes, dripping with cuteness there. I also teach Bible at a Christian school, but I don't have a photo of that. I have a photo of a camp that I spoke at this summer. And so I was a Bible teacher at this camp out in Dixon Valley. And these three girls, very special to me, they're Congolese from a Tanzanian refugee camp that now live on the north side of Chicago. And they sang for us, led singing, and the joy and the beauty of their song really, really touched my heart, and I got to be their Bible teacher along with other kids. Now, something else I'm a bit hesitant to share with you. I mean, this all up here is quite nice, but I've had a change of heart. You're not going to believe this, but I'm not a fan of trees as I used to be. Yeah, and I fall. Yeah, they did. You know, think about this. Trees are expensive, and then they're expensive to cut down. I'm trying to look at things, and trees get in the way. The leaves clog the gutters, and this is just a pain, and it's kind of dangerous to be up there on the roof with the leaves. And then you've got to rake the leaves. It is so much work. And I just thought, you know, I have all these tree books at home. You know, get rid of these. Life is much more simpler if you're not into trees. Amen. Friends, what is the problem here? The problem is the talk does not match the walk. In fact, oh, could you go back one more? Yes, that's good. My wife and I are at a wedding there. I saw this tree, this weeping beech, and I was drawn to it. I had to climb in it. What 50-year-old guy is like, honey, take a picture of me hanging from this tree? Now, in fact, I still do like trees. And when I walked in today, I looked at this and said, this is absolutely the best preaching platform I've ever seen in my whole life. I mean, I'm sorry, but after the service, I said, honey, you need to get a picture of me up here. I mean, this, I couldn't ask for better. Actually, the only thing better is if we were all in the forest right now, right? You know, we were there. But this is amazing. But friends, just a moment ago, my talk didn't match my walk. What I was saying, there was a disconnect with what you were seeing. How often that is true in our walk with Jesus Christ. We're here at church or with certain people, we may say things that sound biblically acceptable, but what is observed in our lives during the week doesn't match those words. Talk does not match the walk. I'd like us to think about this morning. And I think that all of us in this room, in one way or another, we can relate to this idea. I mean, sure, on the extreme is the person with glaring, obviously, hypocrisy, where they just overdo the talk and, oh, I'm committed and I'm so spiritual, but what you observe in their life is absolutely awful, the unkindness and unlove. I mean, that's one extreme. Maybe on the other side, it could be the person that when you observe them, sure, they do seem like they're living a life of love and devotion to God, and they say it, but maybe they're struggling with certain desires or motives within that aren't matching the talk, and God sees the heart. And all of us in this room, we just find ourselves somewhere along this continuum. And so as I go on along in the sermon this morning, I want you to think, what is the area in your life where, quite honestly, your talk is not matching your walk? Now, why is this the case? Why does the talk not match the walk? Sometimes it has to do with an incorrect view of following Jesus. Sometimes people just, they define following Jesus as merely a bunch of rules. You know, be Christian. And that's all it is. You can't reduce the Christian life to just following rules. Colossians chapter 2, therefore do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. There were some people in the early church, it was all about the rules. And I'll just tell you, you get tired and you just don't live up to expectation if all you do is define your Christian life by rules. Why else doesn't talk match the walk? Sometimes it has to do with authority figures. Maybe in your life you've had an authority figure where you just saw them and it was just so obvious to you that for this person that you either looked up to or were forced to follow, this person had a great discrepancy between their words and their lifestyle, and it really hurt you. And you're like, who cares? Who cared? You see that? Who cares? One other reason why talk doesn't match the walk, quite honestly, is just simply the power of the world's message that comes through our culture. And it is very strong. And, you know, often it's a message that life is about my will and it is about my feelings. And this is the cultural soup that we swim in. And so it can be very difficult when you live in that all the time to have your talk match your walk. So what is the solution? What is the solution to more correctly align the talk with the walk? Well, for the solution, let's look to God's Word. And the scripture passage this morning is 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And I'm going to read verses 13 to 16, 1 Corinthians 16. Be watchful. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. Now I urge you, brothers, you know that the household of Stephanas were the first converts in Achaia, and they have devoted themselves to the service of the saints. Be subject to such as these and to every fellow worker and laborer. If you could go back to verse 13 and 14. Be watchful. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. The word of the Lord. I'd like to take a little walk through this text this morning. I guess, first of all, it would be good to have a little context. The city of Corinth, yeah, not good. I mean, picture a city in the United States that has a reputation for immorality. I mean, what city comes what city comes to your mind? That's me too. I was going to say perhaps Las Vegas, yes. This was Corinth. And the church in Corinth, it got affected by the people of Corinth. In fact, when you know the city of Corinth and the immorality there, and then you read 1 Corinthians, you're like, oh my, there were lots of issues, lots of problems, and the whole letter to Corinth is filled with the Apostle Paul dealing with one issue after the other. Well, then he comes to the end of the book, comes to what we call 1 Corinthians 16, and he wants to end with some personal notes. So he talks about his travel plans. He mentions Timothy and Apollos and Stephanus. But right in there in this end of his personal notes, he can't resist. He has to give a parting shot. Right in the middle, he just, be watchful. Stand firm in the faith. I've got to remind you one more time before I close off this letter. And in fact, 1 Corinthians 15, 58, he says, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in love. He just said that a few verses earlier, and then he's got to say it again, different words, but kind of the same point. Oh, friends in Christ, in this city of wickedness, with all of these ways in which the Corinthian culture is affecting you, stand firm, be on your guard. Such important words for the Corinthians, and may I add, for us as well. So be on your guard. Be on your guard. What does this mean? Last year, I was teaching in class, 10th grade Bible. A boy arrived late to class, the door was open, and I was focused. And he walked in quietly, did not notice him. And instead of coming around me here to give me his blue slip, his pass, he came up right behind me and without me knowing, put his head right here. And I'm like teaching, and all of a sudden he went, hello. And I went, ha, bam. Seriously, I elbowed a student in the chest. Now, if he was shorter, I might have broken his nose. I did this, and I mean, the rest of the class, they almost fell on the floor laughing. It was like the high point, you know, of the day for them. You know, their teacher elbowing a guy in the chest. And part of it probably was, you know, okay, my reaction. But it was, I don't know, it's kind of funny. There was a threat, perceived threat, but not real threat, and just, bam! Now, be on your guard. Think ancient city, soldiers on the city wall at night. They cannot fall asleep. You need to be alert. Be on your guard. Be watchful. And as you look over that city wall, and if you see people approaching, you must discern whether this is enemy or friend. And it's an important decision. You need to discern as you see people coming to the city wall, because it depends on what you need to do inside the city, if it is enemy or if it is just friendly people coming. Be on your guard. And very often, spiritually, we may not be on our guard when worldly cultural messages come at us. You know, I think about our body. We need to be on guard, you know, with our body. If all we do is eat junk food, do not get enough sleep, and aren't active, we are not on guard with our bodies. We won't be as productive. We won't be as healthy. So we need to be on guard. And spiritually, we need to be on guard as well. Without much effort, really, the world's perspective feeds us. I'll tell you how. Sin becomes a little wink and, that's inappropriate. We begin to lack self-control when it comes to the screen. Or we just make unwise media choices that lack discernment. We need to be on our guard. At this camp that I was at, that picture that I showed you, I went canoeing one day with some kids, and there was one girl there in a foul mood. I'm like, hello, we are outside, we're going canoeing, this is nice. She goes, I'd rather be home sleeping. I'm like, give me a break. And I started asking her questions. I'm like, well, what's, you know? And she goes, yeah, in the summer, I sleep till early afternoon. I'm like, early afternoon? What time do you go to bed? She's like, oh, 6 in the morning. I'm like, 6? What do you do? She's like, I'm on my phone and Netflix all night. All night, every night during the summer. Now, obviously, that's an extreme. I was like, wow. And actually, it was really sad. And I could see how it was not helping, obviously, her life at all. I mean, she was the one person with the worst attitude at camp because she had just, well, out of control, obviously. I was talking to a boy once at Timothy Christian who had the talk, and he admitted to me. He goes, yeah, when I go to bed at night, I listen to my music, and it's filled with profanity. I wake up to it too, you know, and filled with profanity. And, oh well, this is the way I roll. Maybe it's inappropriate. We need to be on our guard. Now, how do you stay on your guard? Part of staying on your guard is God's word. God's word is a message. And it's not just a message just to read, a message to feed on, to receive from. Like even right now, I believe that if you're listening with an open heart to this message, you're becoming stronger to be on your guard. But obviously it continues after the service as well. That's why it is so fundamentally important that as believers in Jesus Christ, we feed on God's word on a daily basis. We need this. Now, how else do we stay on our guard? Well, that's the next point. The Bible passage says, stand firm. Stand firm. All right, so Connor, yes, come on up, Connor. All right, so for this little illustration, I'm the good guy, he's the bad guy. Illustrative point only, okay, for the next few moments. Okay, I represent standing firm in the Lord. He represents the evil world's message that is seeking to knock us down. Ooh. Okay, so this little act here, I'm going to move this way. Okay, so this little activity, we put our hands up. Now, we push and we try to knock each other over. Remember, I'm preaching, I need to stay conscious, okay? This is just, all right. Okay, so if we start pushing, you know, like this, okay, like this, okay? Now, we try to knock each other over. Now, he's a little taller than me. If we really did this, he probably would win, okay? But as we're doing this, okay, I'm the person on God's message. This is the world. And then all of a sudden, very often, we can get intimidated with the world's message. So instead of doing this, we're like, friend, okay? We just, you know, buddy up with the world's message. Or sometimes we feel intimidated and we cower. We're afraid. We give up. No, I'm not doing this. Ew. When in fact, the Bible says, greater is he that is in me, the Lord Jesus in me, than he that is in the world. And so God calls us, regardless of what is coming against us, to have faith, to be strong, and to stand firm. Amen. Thank you very much. Yes, good. And I like you and you're a good guy. Now that this is done. Yes, it's good. Stand firm. I am in Christ. in Jesus Christ. My house is built on the rock, on God's word and who I am in Jesus Christ. This is a strong footing to have in this world, and we cannot let the world's message or anybody knock us off of that. Oh, this summer, okay, I'm assuming you watched Olympics coverage, and you watch a lot of sports that you would never, ever watch except they're in the Olympics, okay? So I'm watching synchronized platform diving, okay, which I would never watch, but I was watching it. And the Americans, David Bodiah and Steele Johnson. What a name. Steele Johnson. Oh, anyway, so watching them, they did not get the gold. They got the silver. Hey, this is good, all right? Didn't get the, got the silver. So they finish up. The reporter, interviewer comes over, some comments. You know, David Bodiah, he is the more experienced, the older one of the two. Ask him. You know, you didn't get the gold, but still the silver. How do you just deal with the pressure? You know, there's a lot of pressure. Not only jumping from so high and all of this, but having to do it in sync with someone. How do you do it? I could not believe what he said. He looked at the scores, and he pointed there, and he said, "The score is not my identity. My identity is in Jesus Christ." Now, maybe I hadn't heard that before in, you know, sports. I mean, I don't think I have. I mean, I've heard I thank the Lord and other things, which is good. I'm not knocking that. But this guy, and I was like, what? My identity is in Jesus Christ. He used those words. And then the mic passed to Steele Johnson. And he spoke a little bit. And then he said, and you know, David is my mentor. And like him, my identity is in Jesus Christ, broadcast to the hundreds of millions of people watching this. My identity is in Christ, not sports. I mean, this is good. We train hard. But that's not the core of who I am. To stand firm, we've got to understand who are we at the core. And with Jesus Christ, it is a solid footing. Now, interestingly, David Bodiah also illustrated something else about standing firm. His identity is in Jesus Christ, but he had a mentor. It is Christian identity in context of others. So our identity is in Christ, but also it is in the context of Christian community. So it helps us to stand firm when we gather in worship. It also helps us to stand firm when we gather in smaller groups, whether that's mentoring, a small group, prayer group, where we're with people that know us, that look us in the eye. They know our joys, they know our struggles. They know how we tick, and they can challenge us in the faith. So how can we have our walk better match our talk? We need to be on guard and discern in this world. We need to stand firm, and stand firm means in Christ, in Christian community. Now, if you could put up the next slide, this verse, this is the, I read from the ESV, this is the New International Version, be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong. Now, I read in the ESV, act like men. Now, actually, in the original language, it's not three words, act like men. It's actually one word. One word. Literally, it does have this, you know, act like men. But the idea is, be on guard, stand firm. We've got this soldier imagery going on. And so this next part is kind of, be brave, soldier. Be brave. Or in this translation, be courageous, be strong. Be courageous and be strong. I'm not going to say much about this because I want to move on to the do everything in love. But be courageous, be strong. I just want you to think about this little thing we did here with standing firm in the faith, where there are times where we can feel intimidated by others. And God is calling us to be confident in who we are in Jesus Christ and do not allow other people to intimidate us, to back down. We're not living for our glory. I guess if we were, then there might be occasions for us to be like, oh, I'm getting out of here for this one. We live for God's glory. Our lives are in His hands. And so we stand firm courageously in who we are in Christ Jesus, in conversations with other people, in situations that we find ourselves. Be courageous, be strong. And then do everything in love. Lastly, do everything in love. To me, this made me think about the beauty of the Christian message. We are called to be both strong, strong, and gentle. We're called to be confident, confident, and also humble. We're called to be courageous, courageous like a soldier, and at the same time, do everything in love. It is beautiful how all this comes together in following the Lord Jesus Christ. Do everything in love. And why do we do everything in love? We do everything in love not because there's a divine finger pointing down at us and going, you had better be nice. You, be nicer, be kind. This is not why. We do everything in love in response to God's love for us. Because of the love poured out upon us through the Lord Jesus Christ, that our sins are forgiven, that we can live in freedom and in hope with God's Spirit within us. Because of that, we get to do everything in love. So we have to remember why. It's not simply just a command. It is because He first loved us. We do everything in love. For some reason, this point made me think of Prince William and the Duchess Kate and their travels. So they came to Canada recently, and they were in the news. And it just, the way the British phrase things, I don't know about you. I think it's so cool. Okay, so this is not an American newspaper. This is a British newspaper. Touchdown. Duchess Kate, Prince William, and their adorable brood have landed in Victoria for their royal tour of Canada. With greatest anticipation, we finally see the blue royal sheath dress she has decided to glamorously arrive in. It's none other than a Jenny Peckham. The Duchess finishes off her demure look with a touch of familiarity and a maple leaf brooch from Granny Queen Elizabeth and quintessentially British topper. This kind of dress is perfect for important meetings because it's elegant and restrained, but exudes luxury and refinement. When they travel, like on this trip to Canada, William and Kate, there was no escaping, none, that they were royalty. The way they traveled, they didn't go to Heathrow and stand in line and go United Airlines coach. Okay, no, no. Okay, the way they traveled, when they arrived, the people who greeted them, the planning into what to wear because they knew the British press would analyze every last article of clothing. What they did, when they could be out, when they couldn't be out, everything reminded them of royalty. And because it reminded them of royalty, they're pretty good at acting the part. Friends, through Jesus Christ, we are children of the Most High King of Heaven. And God looks at us in grace and says, you are my children. Now, do everything in love. The way you prepare for the day, the way you go throughout the day, what you think, how you talk to a rude person, how you deal with a difficult situation, how you spend your free time, how you work. Do everything, everything in love because of who you are, because of who you are. 1 Corinthians 16, be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong, do everything in love. If we apply these biblical principles to our life, we're going to close the gap between the talk and the walk. And as we close this gap, then I believe we live a life that is blessed with integrity. When we live a more consistent life, there's a peace and a freedom, actually, that we have when our talk matches our walk. And you know, when our talk matches our walk, we're a blessing to other people. We're a blessing to our family. We're a blessing to the church family. People see us, the people that we're with, we bless them by living that way. And we are a light for Jesus Christ to those who see us. There are some people in this world, you are their only touch point to who Jesus is and the salvation that he offers. You're it. And as your talk matches your walk, they may not see it, but they will observe. We do that as humans. They will observe your life. You're communicating something to them. God can open doors so that you can be a witness. My friends, you are writing a gospel, a chapter each day, by the deeds that you do, by the words that you say. People read what you write, whether faithless or true. Say, what's the gospel according to you? Let's pray. Holy God, we are thankful. We are thankful for your word, and please help each one of us to daily feed on your word. Please give us greater discernment, O God, and courage in the lives that you have called us to live. We pray, O Lord, that each one of us in this room might honor you better this week by having our talk match our walk. And to you, O Lord, be the glory. We pray this in the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Amen and amen.